All these studies are coming to a head.
I know. That's how I was going to start. I was going to mention one item on my agenda this morning, but it's actually a fairly substantial one. Last week, we came before you with a very similar study. The difference being, last week, we were about one-third of the way through the actual planning process. Coming before you today, we're here to present the results of the North Coastal Planning Area study, which is now in a final draft form. So unlike last week, I will be asking the council to take action and approve the results of our planning study. In a lot of cases, we have made this generic reference to the North Coastal Planning Area, and it's a rather large area. It's bounded by 113 on the west, the inland bays to the south, Delaware Bay to the east, and Kent County to the north, so it's a very large area. And we did take a look at that entire area, but in reality, we concentrated in the area we refer to as the Inland Bays Planning Area, and they're going to put a map up here shortly, I'm sure. Basically, the Inland Bays Planning Area is an area just north of the Inland Bays. Basically, extends from Millsboro along the Route 24 corridor all the way to West Rehoboth. And the bulk of the report that we performed, the work that we performed, took a look at this area. We did take a look at some work items for Ellendale and Slaughter Beach and Broadkill Beach, but in effect, the emphasis of our work was for this Inland Bays planning area. Okay?
This does not, though, take into expansion for Ellendale.
Excuse me?
This does not take into consideration expansion of Ellendale.
In effect, it does. Ellendale was one of the special work items that we took a look at here, Bob, and as part of this process, we are going to make a recommendation for Ellendale. And we'll work out, as we go through the PowerPoint presentation, we'll have some recommendations about Ellendale.
This is a project Mr. Menegasor was working on.
Mr. Minekasaur started this process as our project engineer, and then he retired again. And that's when we brought John Ashman on board. I have a couple quick introductions. Again, we have Thor Young from the firm of Stearns & Wheeler that was with us last week. Today we also have Mr. Dennis Hassan from the firm of Whitman Reckwart & Associates. And we have Laurie Terry. And I believe Laurie's going to start off with our PowerPoint presentation.
Good morning again, everyone. I'm Laurie Terry with Whitman Reckwart, and I'm going to start by giving you an overview of what our scope of work was for the North Coastal Planning Area study. The North Coastal Planning Area study consists actually of this larger area, this red dashed line here. And the scope of work included actually coordinating with the municipalities within that boundary, like Milton, like Millsboro, areas like Broadkill Beach, just to understand and be aware of any of their wastewater needs that they were looking into and what their growth plans were. But the main focus of the project is within the environmentally sensitive developing area called our Inland Bays Planning Area, which includes this purple boundary here. And the first thing we did under our scope of work in the Inland Bays planning area was to develop the service area build-out, which basically includes looking at each and every parcel within that boundary, taking the zoning and trying to estimate what ultimately that parcel can handle in terms of EDUs, equivalent dwelling units. You've heard that term before. Then we take those EDUs and we actually develop growth projections so we can determine when the growth is going to occur so that we are ready and have the treatment needs available when certain developments come online. We also looked at the existing systems, any of the existing collection systems like in West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. We looked at existing treatment facilities and disposal systems. And then we developed build-out collection, conveyance, treatment, and a disposal plan. And that's what you're going to see here today. The Inland Bays planning area basically has three existing sanitary sewer districts, the West Rehoboth expansion, and you can see that's an estimated build-out of 37,000 EDUs. the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, which is approximately 15,000 EDUs, and the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, which has a build-out estimate of 1,700 EDUs. Those are existing districts. Inland Bays also has five future study areas that we identified. The small piece north of West Rehoboth Expansion we named the Northern West Rehoboth Expansion Study Area. It's 1,800 EDUs. The Gosley Creek Study Area, 9,100 EDUs. Angola Neck, 15,400 EDUs. Herring Creek. 5,800 EDUs. And we named this one the Oak Orchard Expansion at 10,200 EDUs. So those are the five new study areas within the Inland Bays planning area.
So these are the maximum number of EDUs based on current zoning?
Based on current zoning, yep. And those numbers... here's a slide to talk about basically the major density assumptions that we use to calculate those EDUs on a parcel-by-parcel basis. One being all future residential development in the environmentally sensitive developing area would get 4 EDUs per acre. High-density residential and C1 zone parcels get 12 EDUs per acre. B1 parcels are allocated 6.67 EDUs per acre. And existing... AR and MR zone parcels that are less than 1 acre got 1 EDU assigned to them, not more than that. Any existing subdivisions in the planning area would not further subdivide. And tidal wetlands that cross a specific parcel would actually be deducted from the gross acreage of the parcel, because we know you can't build on wetlands, tidal wetlands. So after we take the EDUs, we actually convert those. We do our projections, and we convert them into an estimated flow. And during our planning period, we took this out to year 2025. And at Wolf Neck, at the Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility, we estimate in 2025 that the existing district would bring 7.6 MGD of wastewater flow. And then if you add the northern West Rehoboth expansion, that small piece to the north, that's 0.1 MGD. And Gosley Creek is 0.6 MGD, for a total in 2025 to Wolf Neck at 8.3 MGD. And at Inland Bays, we have two existing districts that connect there now, and in 2025, we estimate Long Neck will bring 3.1 MGD, and the existing Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District would be 0.3 MGD. And the other three areas that we connect to the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility are the Angola Neck Study Area, Herring Creek, and Oak Orchard Expansion at 1.7, 0.5, and 0.6 MGD for a total to Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility in 2025 at 6.2 MGD. So a combined total for the planning area, if you look at what we expect to go to Wolf Neck and Inland Bays, is actually 14.5 MGD for year 2025. The two plants currently have a capacity of 4.5 MGD for a difference of 10 MGD of treatment that we need by year 2025. And I'm going to invite Thor Young up now to talk about how we get that level of treatment by year 2025. Thor.
Thanks, Laura. What you see on this graph here is the growth of flow, which is indicated by the red dots. With the going years between the current time and 2025. And you see there's a little jump at the date we project the Gosley Creek study area may connect. And what you see is that the current capacity of the Wolf Neck plant at 3.1 MGD will be exceeded in the year 2010. So that's the time frame that we need to have some new facilities for expansion there online. This is an aerial photograph which shows the Wolf Neck treatment plant, and the red outline is the property itself. You can see the black is the actual treatment lagoons, and then the sort of white area underneath is the fields that they spray the wastewater on. The darker area is mostly wetlands that can't be built on. Delaware State Parks owns two areas of agricultural fields nearby that we've identified as potential additional areas to spray on. We've had some conversations and some meetings with Delaware State Parks, and they've indicated verbally, although not yet formally committed to allowing us to expand spray on these two parcels. And you see the area of proposed spray. This would allow some additional disposal above and beyond what we currently have on the site. That would add a 1 MGD of capacity. So it would get us an immediate benefit of 1 MGD. And this, the idea would be to have a rental agreement with Delaware State Parks to allow spray of treated effluent on their state parks land, which would remain agricultural fields as it is currently. To expand the plant, because we don't, the county doesn't own any land itself for the plant beyond what their existing plant is on, one concept is to obtain the Truitt parcel, which is also Delaware State Parks' own land, and have the county be able to acquire this parcel to build the expansion on it. Another idea would be to build the expansion here within the existing treatment plant, but what I need to emphasize here is the land, the only land the county owns is the land where the treatment plant itself is. All the other land is Delaware State Parks land, which currently is not permissible to build on. It's only allowed to spray on. So either way, to expand Wolf Neck, some sort of deal needs to be reached with Delaware State Parks to allow the county to acquire a part of the parcel to allow new treatment facilities to be built there. So the purpose of this report that we're doing in the associated hydrogeological and soils work would be to submit this to Delaware State Parks for their approval, both for the additional spray fields and for eventually to acquire the land to construct new treatment facilities on. I should add that we did look throughout the rest of the district. There is really no other land available in that area that the county could buy outright from some sort of landowner and use it for spray or treatment facilities. That particular part of the county is very built out. We've outlined a four-phase eventual approach to reach ultimate capacity, and some of these phases are pretty far out there because they're toward build-out. But the immediate phase one would be to the spray irrigation expansion I just outlined. Delaware State Park says in order to spray on those new parcels, we'd have to use tertiary treatment, sand filtration and chemical coagulation. So there'll be a treatment upgrade required to spray on those additional parcels, and that, again, is required by 2010. The phase two, we're actually doing a study now to look at rapid infiltration basins in that area, and the ultimate recommendation is to join Rehoboth Beach in constructing an ocean outfall. The ocean outfall at this time is the only identified means of disposing of the wastewater to be projected, this 13 MGD to project it from the area. The land that's currently owned by the county, again, is limited to about 3.1 MGD, and even with these two additional state parks-owned parcels of spray, that's only an additional 1 MGD, so it still leaves us far shy of that 13 MGD we project. As you know, the county's Rehoboth Beach has at least unofficially approached the county about joining with them in the ocean outfall project, which would be built off the coast of Rehoboth Beach, and the idea is that is the recommended approach for the county to join in that. The long term, then, the county would continue to spray on the land they currently spray on and utilize the ocean outfall for the difference. Looking at the Inland Bays area, again, this is Long Neck and Oak Orchard right now, which go to the Inland Bays treatment plant. You can see the projected flows there, and we're pretty closely going to reach the current capacity of 1.5 MGD on that site. You see the projected dates where some of the areas like Angola, our Oak Orchard expansion would connect, which would raise the flow in jumps as it continues on there. So again, the Inland Bays also needs more treatment capacity. Inland Bays, there's a far different scenario. Inland Bays, the county's purchased 2,100 acres and owns that in and around the existing treatment plant. So it's not the same situation as Wolf Neck, where the county doesn't own land and there's no land available. Here, the county owns land and the land is available. You see outlined in green there the existing treatment plant. And this yellow line that occupies almost the whole aerial, that's the land owned by the county. So the county has a great deal of land at this site. These two yellow are the two existing spray fields the county disposes on. That's how they get that 1.5 MGD of capacity now. Again, that's going to be exceeded around the year 2010. Red would be the first phase of spray expansion. This is on land that's all owned by the county. Some of it's agricultural land. Some of it is land that's been recently clear-cut that was formerly grown for timber crops. Hydrogeo work and soils work has been done on this area, so we don't anticipate it to be a difficult project. To the south on a timber crop area, the Cordery parcel would be the second phase of expansion. And then in the long term, there's a relatively large tract of land called the Gladfelter Tract, which is timber crop land that would be for future expansion. Just by adding the red and the blue circles there shown, that would add 3.8 MGD to the existing 1.5 MGD plant. So you can see there's a significant amount of additional capacity just available on that those circled areas there. Again, this would proceed in a four-phased approach. With the first phase would be the one required by 2010, which would be expansion of the treatment facility itself and expansion of the spray irrigation. And then it would proceed in other phases with spray irrigation. And we're also investigating the use of rapid infiltration basins on part of this land. So in this case, the county will be able to take all the flow generated in that inland bays area and dispose of it on site on the inland bays property. As part of this overall project, we've also looked at all the required infrastructure improvements to gravity sewers, force mains, pumping stations, and these have all been prioritized and will be completed as needed as expansion requires. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Russell to talk about the funding for the project and some other issues.
We always like to at least generally cover what the funding for these kind of expansions will be. We don't have any at this point. We're still finalizing exactly which projects will take place and when. Thor addressed some of that during his presentation. But we'll be looking at some of our standard funding mechanisms for this. We'll be, of course, pursuing state and federal loans and grants, which we've been very successful in getting for our other projects. As far as development in the existing districts, as they expand and as new projects come from the development community, we'll be looking at developer-funded projects and expansions through our escrow agreements, which have also been very successful. And finally, you know, we'll be looking at the normal user rates and the impact fees to help finance these expansions. At this point, we're not proposing any rate increases or any specific costs associated with these. They'll be done as we continue to identify what those specific projects are. I've also will be covering some of the other things that are fairly related to this study. As Mike talked about when he started out the process, we had a North Coastal Planning Area, which was a much bigger area, and we did do some preliminary reviews, talking to the other towns, and looking at some of the other areas where we heard them come up through conversation. Well, they may need sewer, may want sewer. So we had a number of other work items associated with the planning process. The first, and there'll be a series of slides for those. You can see the five areas that we thought we'd bring to your attention and just give you a little overview of those issues. The first one, we actually met with representatives from Slaughter Beach, Prime Hook, and Broadkill Beach. These continually pop up every once in a while to, you know, see if sewer is coming. We always get some interest from these areas. We met with the representatives of these two areas back in March 2005. I have to say that we did not receive strong interest in sewer at this time. Costs were primarily concerned. So we did some background review. We have that information. It'll be, you know, outlined in our report so that we can go back to that. But at this point, we did not pursue any additional effort in putting central sewer in these areas. The next one is the Angola Neck area, and I'm going to ask how Rob's already got it up. Familiar with the Angola Neck area, it's an area where we see a high potential for wastewater service being provided in our next phase of planning and sewer expansion work. We, in looking at that, we have received a lot of major interest in central sewer from three communities that you see highlighted here on the map. And we got Angola by the Bay, single family residences all in this area on septic systems. Bay Ridge Woods, surprisingly a fairly new subdivision that has existing septic systems that have experienced problems already. And then the Woods on Herring Creek, which was a private wastewater provider system that has suffered some of the same problems that the Bay Colony system has suffered. And as council knows, we took over Bay Colony, boy, probably 7-8 years ago, I guess. And in any event, we had strong interest from these three communities. I think we came to you a few weeks ago or a month ago and asked permission to circulate petitions in this area. We expect those, we're receiving petitions back. We've already received approximately 200 petitions from these communities. We're expecting more in the near future. And so we expect to be doing a follow-up study for this specific area, phase one. What'll happen is after we, if this gets established as a sanitary sewer district, obviously we can look at expanding it into the remainder of the area that is north of our area. Right now we're in this section of it. So it kind of gives you a feel of, it's about a third, I guess, of the area that we're actually looking at for sewer at this point. In terms of coordination, we met with all of the incorporated communities in the planning area and talked to them about their wastewater needs just to get a feel for the general need in the area. Of particular interest was the city of Lewis for us because, as you are familiar, we have the West Rehoboth expansion area here. We kind of surround it. And one of our emphasis on this study, as we do in all of our recent studies, is to kind of make sure we take into account our comprehensive plan, but also the individual comprehensive plans of the individual towns. What you see here is, in the red up here, you see the city of Lewis's town boundary up in this area. And you see our sanitary sewer district boundary, which kind of follows along some of that boundary there. In working with them and talking to the Board of Public Works, our question was, well, do you plan to sewer any of the areas adjacent to you? And they did identify some areas. Okay. Yeah, they identified this area right in here that basically they said, yes, this is in our comprehensive plan. We would like to sewer that area. So in addressing that, we have taken that area out of our planning study and will not propose serving that area through the county's facilities. That would be a part of the city of Lewis's responsibility in accordance with their comprehensive plan. In addition to that, we have another area down here where you can see there's a proposed subdivision called Showfield. The town of Lewis, I think, has been looking at this proposal here. And part of it's in our sewer district, part of it's out. We anticipate that entire area being served by the city of Lewis. And as you can see, we have a note here. We expect to come into you at some time in the future and revise our sewer district boundary to exclude that area. And that wastewater service would be provided for that entire community through the city of Lewis. Out of our entire, what we used to call our North Development District, which was a fairly large swath here, we see we only have a small remnant of that left that we call the Northern West Rehoboth Expansion Area. Mr. Stickles brought this up earlier. We did look at the town of Ellendale's wastewater needs and our sanitary sewer district's wastewater needs. Council is well aware of all the growth that's being proposed for there. We've had a number of meetings with the town and with the different developers talking about what proposals are being made in the area. The problem is that we do not have sufficient treatment capacity for the proposed development in that area. Right now, all wastewater from the district is treated at the town of Georgetown. Town of Georgetown has some of their own growing pains. Their capacity is limited. And we do not see that as a likely alternative to getting additional capacity from the town of Georgetown. We do, however, have a certain amount of capacity we anticipate using, and we anticipate at this point continuing to use that. But the question becomes, how do we address the needs, the long-term needs of the Ellendale district? And we have come up with two items here that we feel like are potential opportunities. We feel like there could be a standalone facility that might be sited outside of the town of Ellendale. Now, remember, The state law requires us to have our treatment facilities in the sewer district. So if we find a site, it's going to have to be adjacent to this area, and it's going to have suitable soils and sufficient land to be able to serve the area. We think there is a potential for that, so we will start the process of looking for sites and looking at for potentially available land for a new treatment facility near the town of Ellendale. The other option is to put out for bids service from private wastewater providers. We believe that the state law allows us to do this, and we feel like since there is a lot of development proposed outside there, we have at least two private providers that are saying we would be able to accommodate you if you need additional capacity. There's obvious advantages to that. We don't have the capital costs up front, but on the other hand, we would not operate and maintain the facility, so there might be some. But we're looking at both of these options as a way of providing for the long-term needs of the Ellendale District. The report, we hope, will be finished in the next month or two. We're right now trying to finalize the potential costs of it, and so that we can present them for your consideration. The last item that came out of the study is what we call Oak Orchard Expansion Number 1. The Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, as we know, came on online recently, and already we're receiving requests to expand the district. We can't expand a district till 50 properties have been connected in the sewer district. That has occurred. So we have several new projects. We have a project called Nantigo that's out here along Route 24. We have a Oak Landing, which is this parcel right here. Riverside Plaza, which is at the intersection of 24, and Tidewater Utilities owns property adjacent to the sewer district. They're interested in an office complex to serve their needs. So we're getting some new interest there, but also we have existing development. We have received requests from Driftwood Village. We have received requests from Oak Orchard West, which is a community right here in this area. We have been in contact with Oak Meadows, and they are interested. So we have gotten some interest from them, and we have letters to Captain's Grant and River Village trying to determine if there's any interest in those communities. But in any event, what we are looking at is this would be our next expansion of the Oak Orchard area, would be up into this area right here. As Lori pointed out earlier, there is an expansion number 2. There is no proposal for that at all. We're looking specifically at what we call expansion number 1. And we'll be approaching you later with that. As things come together, we're in negotiation with several developers and trying to put together some kind of a package that benefits the existing homeowners and them as well. So at that point, I'll turn it over to Mike for the questions and comments frame. And I guess I will mention that we will have copies of the handouts available for the press or any other interested persons after the meeting.
Okay. Mike, first question I got is for any of you. With the insurgence and aggressiveness of private enterprise wanting to take over sewer municipalities, and we started this plan a couple years ago, and the aggressiveness is like the LP Gas was. They're going to municipalities now and say, you know, we're the answer. And in my own community, they're ready to ink something with somebody. And how does that fragment your plan? Because they're talking regional also, and they can do it much faster, and it's going to be better. But that's part one of the question. And part two is, if private enterprise is allowed to become involved in municipalities where it's not really been, do they fall under the auspices of the municipality and government then, and then the consumer wouldn't be protected for rates? Because that's always a concern when they have that. And that's questions I got for you.
They have a different approach. They're looking to build infrastructure for newer development, and when they do that, they are able to pay for the cost of their capital costs through impact fees of the new homes that connect. So they really don't have a structure that's in place to serve any existing development. So they can go into a newer area and offer a reasonable price And then when the contract home buyer builds the house, there's extra monies within that agreement that pays for this capital cost. So that's how they can do it for new development. They go into the towns, and I don't know that they have an actual agreement in place for a particular town yet. I do know that they're working with the town of Del Mar. And again, they're going to concentrate not serving the existing portion of the town of Del Mar, but they're going to look at serving the growth area. If you recall, each town adopted a new comprehensive plan. You have your existing town boundary, and then you have your new area that would be annexed into the town. So in this case, the private providers are concentrating on serving the area of new development. So in those cases, yeah, it's probably going to work. You mentioned one other thing. When Sussex County establishes a SOAR district, we historically have set up a rate structure that stays in place for a very long period of time, where the private providers are looking at a series of rate increases over time. So rates are going to go up. So they sort of have a different approach how they set up their funding of their project versus the way that we have traditionally done it. I think there is a means, and we have had some success recently working with the private providers in Sussex County, trying to come up with a meeting of the minds about, okay, where are we going and where are you going, and trying to determine a way that we're not stepping on each other's toes. Because I think for the last year, we have had a lot of cases where we're stepping on each other's toes. And I think we can come to a meeting of minds where they can target their customer, we can basically target what we perceive to be our customers, and I think it'll work out for everyone in the end. But I think it's been a rocky road getting to that point. But I do see some light at the end of that tunnel.
The private sector now has to answer to the Public Service Commission, which has leveled the field. And we've been successful with the private sector with the water systems when we set them up around our landfills. And they were governed then by the private by the Public Service Commission, where we did not see water rates go skyrocketing when they went around with those.
The difference is, here's my concern. With the water, they have a statewide rate in place. With wastewater, they have small individual districts. I do have a concern that in the coming years, much as we saw at Bay County or Woods on Herring Creek, that while you won't have that system failing and no one responding, I think if the system fails, someone will respond. But I do believe there's a chance that the capital costs for the needed improvements could be conveyed to the newer homeowners and are going to see rate increases. And I think you could see some screaming at that point, but that hasn't happened yet. I do think that's...
It hasn't happened yet, but we keep individual rates also.
Right.
So I think the private sector has a lot to offer with the individual districts.
Well, originally they were just starting about, like you said, developments, and that's what we're trying to get out and go regional, east and west.
Yeah.
And they're talking in a municipality I live in now, I understand, and it's not official, but private's talking to them about taking over the town and regional north and east of the town.
I think you could do a public-private partnership in those, and that's the key. The two entities have to plan together.
Right.
And I think if you set it up and you plan together, you could make it work. And I think we're heading in that direction, but we haven't got there yet.
Yeah, but the rates are concerning me in the future, how fast they can escalate once they get in place, and you won't be able to stop it. I mean, that's a concern for the public. Right. Mr. Jones?
Well, I agree with you, Mike, because there's some areas that it's going to be 20, 30 years where we could possibly get
right.
to, and at the private sector. But again, we don't want, you know, certainly this is a great step toward, you know, showing them where we're going and those type of things. And I like the way you structured the EDUs and that type of stuff. I think it's a great that part as far as planning ahead for the future. And, you know, we need to keep moving.
Let me ask you, can I? Are you done?
Yes, you done.
Yes. Yeah, we talk all about this private sector, how great it is, but when these companies like Artesian and Tidewater get into the sewer system and they start these little private systems, they don't want to give them up. When the county comes by, they're not. It's a money-making operation. They're in the business to do this. So where is this perception as soon as the county gets out there that all these guys like Artesian are going to give up these sewer plants where they've had this revenue coming for years? We will be stuck with them until they fail. then, like Mike, I think, alluded to, that we could have problems. There is an article in this magazine, we get city, county, about these small private systems and where they can be a problem.
I certainly think you're right, George, but at that time when these systems, the old systems were put in, there was nobody governing them. So I think
it's infancy. This is Senate Bill 99, only 2 years old.
Let me get a couple things off my table here, then you can all, while I got the floor. But then the other thing that bothers me is all I hear about is all the new guys are going to get the sewer, and it's difficult to give it to the existing communities that have problems. And that's the way it's been for the last 20 years. We've given everybody who's coming in here, a new developer, they've got it all. The older areas are sitting back wishing they could have it. Still, I don't see anything that's going to solve those problems. The other thing, one of the consultants mentioned that they calculated on current zoning at 4 units to the acre. Current zoning is not 4 units to the acre in all this area. It's 2 units to the acre in all that AR district. So did anybody ever calculate that if we looked at the actual current zoning of 2 units to the acre, a lot of these improvements that, you know, all this more land we need and all these other big fancy, you know, outfalls and all this other stuff may not be needed. We may be able to accommodate growth if we would just not keep adding additional density everywhere down the line. So, but see, did anybody look at that, though?
Hey, Mr. Cole, just a second.
I'm going to tell
Mike, we sat back way back when and said, you know, that this is what we wanted, because we ran into the problems that some of the issues we're having in West Rehoboth and those where they actually took the zoning, and now the pipes are too small and some of those issues. Wait a minute, let me finish,
the
please.
Pipes are too small because added to capacity, and they gave comments that it would have
West
an impact.
West Rehoboth also was the first project in the district. But I'm saying they did what we asked them to do.
Four of you, yes, agreed that we needed to change everything.
I just
want to
make sure you understand where Mike and the study is coming from.
Okay? I understand. A man from Greenwood, a couple guys from Laurel, and a guy from Milton decided that the coastal area needed 4 units
majority,
to the acre.
That's what they call majority.
That's right. Exactly right. So I'm not arguing that. Okay. Wait.
Good vision and good planning.
I've only got 25 minutes left.
That's why these elections. Go ahead.
but turn to page 5, because this is what you have. Don't argue with Mike and Russ.
I'm asking questions.
Turn to page 5.
Nobody wants to
answer. This is what they based it on.
Correct.
Because they sat here, and Mr. Dukes and the rest of you criticized them why they didn't use these calculations on Long Neck Road. And this is what has been used to determine. This is what Mr. Cole, and this is very important. This whole report is based on this.
So,
if you're going to change it, this is the time to change it.
Can I just finish my few questions and you
this
all
This is what you want to change.
Not, no, the majority, as he said, the
did
majority of
this?
The county council.
Did you look at this?
Yes, I did. I don't agree with it.
Now, this is the time to change it. If you want to change it.
Well, I'm just pointing out that what we have proposed in the past is going to cost a lot of money. It's going to add a lot of density. Density adds traffic and all these other problems, schools, environmental problems, on and on. If we'd have followed what the current zoning is, because we've given the developers all kinds of benefits now. We got cluster housing, we got all this other stuff. Everything's incentives. They can do RPCs and get all kinds of creative, whatever. But we keep giving them additional density, and that's where the problem is. Now we've got to come in with ocean outfalls, which is going to be terribly expensive to the people who live here. It's getting expensive to live in Sussex County because of this county council. When you add in all these costs, it's not getting any cheaper.
You
to
want
live
to
here.
Cheapen living here?
No, I'm saying, did we ever look at what the current zoning is and see what do we need the 2010 expansion of Wolf, whatever we want, State Park? I'll tell you what, I hope the State Park doesn't provide the land so county council can keep on zoning more density all through that area. When I calculated the EDUs the young lady put up here, it was over 100,000 people just in that little around the inland bays. You know what? Other jurisdictions are trying to protect their environmentally sensitive areas by limiting development, and what we're doing is we're trying to add more and more. And so I think we're out of whack. Of course, four of you don't.
I don't really have a dog in this fight.
I know that.
But
I'm interested in
although the existing zoning for AR may be 2 with the existence of central sewer, it bumps up to 4, and I'm sure that's why they use the premise of 4.
When you've got in a zoning category of AR1, you can only put 2. You have to change
without
the zone?
Central sewer.
Right. Do you have to change the zone nowadays? Or no, we've changed this so that you don't even have to change the zone now, Mr. Griffin? They don't have to do a zoning change?
I'm just telling you why they use.
Do they have to have a zoning change to go from AR to MR and get the four units? Or is it an automatic right now? Is it a permitted use, Jim?
Well, that's.
Answer it. Say yes or no.
That's something we can argue at a later date.
No,
but I'm
it's
just
either,
you,
either you can I'm, or you I'm, can't, Jim.
Well, I'm not giving you legal opinions on a partisan issue.
Okay. It's not partisan. It's our, does our ordinance provide it?
But I'm just telling you why they use the four per.
They use that because this council has directed them to.
Planning.
Plan it because they want more development. The more development's causing a lot of problems. And these are rural areas that people don't want this kind of development.
But.
So, you, I mean, again, you guys are all off.
In saying, though, Mr. Cole sat here and badgered Mr. Izzo for months.
I'm not badgering.
You, no, you said he didn't have a vision last year. And before we started this study.
I said you didn't.
No, you said he didn't. And then he went out and got a vision. At the present time, this factor in time is now if you plan for infrastructure ahead, Mr. Cole thinks you're encouraging growth. In the past, you didn't pass for it. You were reactive instead of proactive. Now we're trying to be proactive. Neither thinks we're increasing
Rogers,
growth.
Rogers, you
it's
twisted that
It's planning of
around.
The future. It's
you
planning of the
twisted
future.
Twisted that around.
And to answer your question, Mr. Griffith, no, the zoning doesn't permit the four units to the acre, but we're planning for the future, not knowing what a future council may do. So, and then
well,
you won't be in that predicament.
Mr. Rogers,
yes,
my last words. My
good.
Last words.
Your last word?
This is an excellent report. It's telling you the reality of what's going to happen, like it or not.
Don't
people
disagree.
Are going to continue to live here, going to continue to move here. The state of Delaware has made this a very attractable state to live to. When you give greater credits on people's pension, up to $25,000 for a household on retirees' pension, when you reduce school taxes for those over the age of 65 by 50%, you build an $800 million road to get to this county quicker, people are going to continue to live here. And this county has put more state police on the road, they've put more paramedics on the road than what's required by state law, and we keep building the infrastructure, not just sewer, but libraries, buildings, and people are going to continue to live here, and we have to continue to do this. And if you don't like the report, you can't help
no,
that.
No, no, no. I just asked a question. Did we ever
everybody
look at if
question.
We didn't keep it? How long was Wolf's Neck, when it was proposed, supposed to last? How many years till it exceeded capacity when we did it?
I would have it's probably a 20-year planning period.
So it failed, or I mean, it came to capacity, not failed, but it's come to capacity in, what, 10 years?
Well, one of the problems is they anticipated 4 million gallons per day, and we just basically can't get it out of that plant. The soils just can't handle it. So I don't know if we could locate that slide, but if you look at the 4 MGD, we could project how far out that would have been. Where's Thor's slide with the grid? There's the one. So 4 MGD would have taken us out to about 20, somewhere between, right around 2012, I'll guesstimate.
A couple more years.
So ago. That would have been about, I don't know, 17 years.
Oh.
Right,
about
that's about where we are.
Started in 1995, or first 1996, so.
We started spraying it 1996 on there?
January 1, 1996, Heather.
Is that what it was?
Still here.
Okay.
Don't let them bad
mouth
me.
Further questions. I want to thank the consultants. Thank Mike for reporting.
I have a motion I can read, too, because we need to adopt the planning study.
Go for it.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering department that the approved wastewater facilities plan and environmental assessment for the Inland Bays planning area and the associated hydrogeologic and engineering reports be adopted by the Sussex County Council effective this date.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second. Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes to adopt the plan as presented and recommended by the Sussex County Sewer, Engineering Department and Whitman and Reckhart. Questions? Mr. Cole.
No, I mean, it's a good plan. I'm sure they worked real hard on it, and they did what they were told to do. Again, I think the county's off on the wrong direction. We're taking the most environmentally sensitive part of this county, and the next one will be the west side of the county after they get done ruining the east side. But they have projected too high densities. We have got these rural areas. We saw Isaac's Glen at under 2 units to the acre, and people still didn't like that. So all I can tell you, when you move back like this and push the people of this county to this kind of a density, and the sewer is a two-sided sword. There's good and bad to it. I think because of the densities we are permitting and encouraging, It's going to be a sword. It's going to come back and bite us. And infrastructure, it's a ripple effect that traffic on and on and on will be affected by this kind of plan, and it's a disaster for this county.
Mr. Cole?
No, I don't like the, I mean, I don't support the plan.
Mr. Cole votes no with no surprise. Mr.
Just
Phillips.
Because you have a plan, it doesn't mean it's a good plan. I just need you to point that out.
Mr. Phillips.
This is a bad one.
I think it's important for us to plan. I think that the only mistake is that we've been giving away the additional density over the years. I think
it.
With a four-unit per acre planning study, it does give us the flexibility that if there is an upzoning in one of those areas, that we should charge the developers for that added density rather than just give them that windfall profit. The money that is collected from those fees can be put into schools, can be put into the purchase of open space, can be put into a lot of other infrastructure needs that the citizens of Sussex County have to have if we're going to continue our quality of life. But without the proper planning for the sewer infrastructure, that opportunity will never exist.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones.
As I said earlier, you guys did exactly what we wanted you to do. As I said, West Rehoboth was the first project, and I wasn't around then. It was a new project, money was tight, everything else, and we're not making the same mistake twice, even though it served its purpose and did what it had to do, but we're planning for the future, and my vote is yes, and good job, thank you.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes.
I'd like to thank and congratulate the engineering department and our consultants for presenting the plan that does have vision and planning to it. We get criticized all the time because we have no planning, but I never agree to that. I think that we plan far in the future, and I think this morning we've proven that. So I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes votes yes. We have a land use plan that we're currently revisiting, just hired another consultant to do that. And it is planning our future somewhat. We can't predict the future, but we can certainly plan. Engineering has stepped up to the plate as asked. We basically, in my mind, spot sewered for years all over the county, and now we're getting to where we need to be, the regional plan. And, you know, around these infrastructure, around these municipalities is eminent. We have to have that there to get higher densities there, to have less densities in low growth areas. It doesn't hurt to plan. I'd rather have too much and not enough, and that don't mean just because you have it, you will use it. And the land use plan, I think, will govern that, but we can't predict what future councils may desire with how many people come or don't come to this county. And I compliment you on your report. I think it's a good start in integrating this with the land use plan. It'll be a good future for Sussex County. My vote's yes. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Grant requests.